Psalm number 46. I believe that this psalm was written after Israel had been invaded and there was much destruction and great sorrow, and the psalmist sat down and he wrote words like these: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. And that has various meanings. Pause and consider. The other more modern meaning is, what do you think of that? Can you see the earth being removed and mountains demolished, the sea roaring and raging, and the mountains shaking? A work of God. And he says, what do you think of that? There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The nations raged, and kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What do you think of that? Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. But he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What do you think of that? A wonderful psalm, and it brings out the greatness and the glory and the power of our great God. And the one who demonstrated his power way back there in Israel's time is the one who holds you and me in the hollow of his hand. Now, just something here that I would like to share with you as we finish up the evening, talking of our subject of prayer. A lot of the things that we've been going over with you, well, you'll have to put into practice now in these critical days. Really. And I was just thinking, as the meeting was going through, how that there's no place on earth, but what you can pray to God. I remember during the conflict when everything was just let loose and you just thought the heavens had opened. And I can remember lifting my heart to the Lord and asking for guidance and asking to be kept safe. We didn't have much time to think about it really, but there was that prayer. I remember one time when I was just totally exhausted, absolutely, nervously, physically, emotionally, totally exhausted, hardly able to lift my little finger. And I remember in a little sheltered place when things were still going, bowing my knees. I bowed my knee and asked God to give me strength to noise, and you have heard noise in the Bahamas, like what we heard when the guns were booming and the shells were exploding and the small arms were shattering everywhere. Noise. And isn't it wonderful that a weak cry from a weak brother went through the noise and through space and reached the throne. And it is very encouraging just to remind our hearts of these things. And if I could take you a little further into the prisoner of war time, when our resources physically had just completely run out, and we were under a different set of circumstances now. No shots and shells and bombs exploding. Nothing like that. But just filth and disease and death. It wasn't the first time that we dropped on our knees and asked God for his help. And I've heard unsaved men doing the same. There was an old saying, I'm not sure whether it was First War or the Second World War, but the saying was, there's no atheist in foxholes. And that's true. Ungodly men, swearing, tearing men, crying to God for help and making promises to God that they had no intention of fulfilling. And yet somehow, God in his sovereignty heard those prayers and delivered them from their extremist circumstances. I remember just after we capitulated, this is in Singapore now, and there was about four or five of us, and we were all believers. And there used to be a church, a base church, a nice building, but it was just shattered, and the side was leaning right over like this, and the roof was inside. And I remember the six of us got in behind that wall that was hanging over, and we just didn't know what was going to happen. We knew that we were prisoners, but we hadn't seen our captors by that time, and we didn't understand them, didn't know them. It was just the great unknown. And if you had ever heard prayers that came from the heart, you would have heard them on that occasion, asking God to help us and to keep us under every circumstance. And you know what happened? Those five men that were together, we all came through. Every one of us came through. Now that could not be said of many of our brothers in Christ, because many of them died. But those men who prayed on that occasion for safety and for help, we were brought through. I'm trying to introduce something that's in my mind here, how that no matter where we are and no matter our circumstances, we can pray. You dear ladies know what it is to pray when you're washing dishes. I know you do. Just wonderful. You pray when you're cooking a meal for your friends or for your family. When you're doing your laundry, I'm sure that many of you utter a prayer. Isn't it wonderful in all these different places you can pray? And you men that get harassed sometimes in your business, sometimes when there's just a lull, what do? The ungodly goes in for his cigarettes, but what do? You just lift your heart, don't you? God, help me in this predicament. Help me. And God calms your spirit and gives you strength to go on. And I was thinking about the different places that God can hear from. One, he heard Hagar in the wilderness. Read that story. It's pathetic. It really is. And she prayed, and she had laid her little baby under a bush, going to die. In fact, it's strange I should mention that, because that little baby was Ishmael, wasn't it? And who are the Ishmaelites today? Well, Saddam Hussein is one of the offspring, a wild man. Going to be a wild man, and he's a wild man. The Arabs are wild men. But Hagar prayed to God, and miraculously water came, and the baby was saved. And I was thinking of Jonah, that disobedient prophet. And he says, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm not going. And he took a ship in the other direction. And you know the story. And he was thrown overboard, and a big fish was right there. I think that the big fish was created by God. And he was just there with his mouth open and just swallowed him. And I was thinking, before I came here tonight, and before the blackout, wasn't that a situation? How would you like to have been in the stomach of a big fish with all the creepy crawly things that it had eaten, and all the acid, and I'm sure that getting Jonah down there, that had indigestion, and it would be rolling backwards and diving and going up. And poor old Jonah is in here in the blackness of darkness. And what did Jonah do? Cry? Well, I don't know whether he cried or not. I know that he prayed. And it may have been when the fish was taking one of those dives down into the very depths of the sea to try and get rid of what was in. But Jonah cried and prayed, and he cried out to salvation of the Lord. And that fish was so sick, and it got to the shallows, and it regurgitated, and Jonah found himself knee-deep in water. And looking around, he was almost at Nineveh again. But a prayer from the submarine. Remember Hezekiah? God told him that your life's finished now. And he went to bed and turned his face to the wall, and he prayed to God. And you know, a remarkable thing happened. God increased his life by 15 years. So that was on a bed. And then we have David in a cave. He was being hunted like a partridge on the hillside by Saul and his army. And David prayed in a cave, and praised God that the prayer was heard. You know, my dad was a coal miner. Lily's dad was a coal miner. They were what we would call, they were called deputies today, but then they were called firemen. They were in charge of a certain part, and for the safety of the men, etc. And it wasn't the first time that my dad and Lily's dad have told how that when the men were sitting having their lunch, that one of the Christians would take a little testament from his shirt pocket, and in the light of a tallow lamp, he would read a portion of scripture and offer a prayer in the bowels of the earth. And God heard the prayer from the very bowels of the earth. And then we have Peter on the boat, do you remember? He said, Lord, bid me come to thee. It's a prayer. It's a request. Lord, bid me come to thee. And the Lord said, come on then. And he jumped overboard. Impetuous Peter. And was doing all right. He was walking on the water. But then he got his eyes of the Lord and got his eyes on the waves. And then he began to sink. And just as he was going down, he said, Lord, save me. And he would just stop in a second, and he was back on the boat again. And just one more from a different place altogether. Remember the cross? And the thief said to the Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And you know, I like to think that the Lord went to paradise a little while before the thief. See, the Lord died, and then the thieves were still alive, so they broke their legs to kill them. And do you know what? That when the ex-thief arrived in paradise, who was there to meet him? Wonderful. Remember me today, thou shalt be with me. Does it encourage you, my dear sister, to pray? Does these things encourage you, my dear brother, to keep on praying? They should, you know. And then there's 2 minutes left. It doesn't matter what time we pray. And I have enjoyed this in the last several months. It really is wonderful. And I think I mentioned in one of my first meetings that when I wake in the morning, sometimes this lady of mine, she's up and away by that time. And I'll open my eyes and I'll say, good morning, Lord. Thank you. Because while I've been sleeping, he's been waking. He has been awake and he has been looking after me and my loved one all night long. Isn't that wonderful? And Psalm 121, the psalmist there says that our God, listen to this, he never slumbers nor sleeps. Praise his name. Blessed be his name. And we're getting ready for bed, you know, and we're going to sleep. But away over yonder in Egypt and in the Middle East, in Egypt, but in the Middle East, darkness is going to be dispelled and the new day is coming on. And isn't it great to think that God never slumbers and never sleeps? He's with us all the time. David prayed all day. He said they prayed 3 times a day. Daniel, fearless Daniel, he prayed at noon. Did you ever notice that despite what they had said, that anybody who worships any other person but the image, they've had it. Now, you'll notice that when Daniel went home this afternoon, he put his window down. And he didn't pray like how many of us pray inaudibly. He prayed out loud. And the folks outside the window heard him pray. And they said, we've got him this time. But you see how Daniel prayed despite the circumstances. And Paul and Silas prayed at midnight. And there was an earthquake and there was a conversion and there was a whole family converted and a whole family baptized. And then there was one occasion when several occasions when our Lord prayed the night through. Oh, how wonderful. Have you people who work, and what I mean by that is that you're not way up in management, but you say, I must speak to the president. And you know what happens. It goes to this one, and it goes to that one, and it goes to the next one, and then eventually the request goes to the president, and he says, well, I can't see him today. I'll perhaps see him in 2 days because I'm going away. It's so difficult, isn't it, sometimes, to get an interview with the higher up. But isn't it wonderful to think that we could have an interview with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at any time we wish, in the day or during the night, from wherever we are geographically, we can just open our eyes and our hearts and open our mouths and we can pray to God. Does that encourage you tonight? Because maybe in the near future you're going to have to pray an awful lot. Maybe even though you may be far removed from world conflict, yet you will feel the impact of it all around. And even while you may not suffer physically, please remember those who are actively engage in the conflict. And then these things would encourage you to pray for the current meetings and to keep in mind space in your prayers for the special effort in March, and also to remember those who are sorrowing over the loss of a loved one. And while I think it was Alec was praying, I just thought that here we are, and we don't need to pray for Brother Ben. He's arrived home, you know. Isn't that wonderful? He's arrived home. But we do need to pray for Penny and for the rest of the family. I'd like you to sing a hymn for me tonight. I think it's 331, sister. And it takes me back 45 years ago when the Second World War broke out. And this was a hymn that we sang. And it's a hymn that the nation sang. And perhaps you should just sing it tonight. O God, our help in ages past. I won't repeat it. I will just allow the Spirit to bring the words home to us. 331.